Hey everybody, it's Caitlin
and Bree,
and welcome back to Corrupted Beings.
Hello everyone, we're back again.
Second episode in a night.
Y'all are probably gonna get this a little bit farther apart. So today is a Brianna episode, and I am doing the suspicious deaths of Kim Luce and Craig Peterson, or Kimberly Luce.
You know what's going to be good when they call it a suspicious death?
I know, right? It's not. It's not suspicious. Well, it is suspicious. It's technically an unsolved cold case. It can easily be solved.
Bree solved it.
That is my opinion.
Bree solved it.
But anyway, so this case
takes... Let us know in the show notes or comments if you think Bree figured out who did it.
I don't think anyone really needs to figure it out. I think the facts tell you who fucking did it.
Okay, well, then comment if you agree with what the facts tell you. Because we have our own theory. Well, Bree has her theory.
And I think it'll be your theory, too.
I'm going to find out my theory throughout the
episode. Okay, so this story takes place in Bluegrass, Iowa, which is about 10 minutes from Davenport, Iowa, which is in the Quad Cities. So it's part of the Quad Cities. Okay. I picked an Iowa case, you know. Gotta rep the home state.
As we're sitting in an Iowa-infested garage.
Garage with my dad's Iowa shrine. Okay, so first we're gonna start talking about Kimberly R. Luce. She was born on July 17th, 1970 in Bluegrass, Iowa to Larry and Rose Luce. She was one of 9 children. So there was 5 girls and 5 boys, but one of them had died when he was an infant. She wasn't normally allowed to go to parties, and she spent much of her free time at home helping care for her 2 young brothers who suffered from autism. She was a junior at the time of the events. She was a 16-year-old junior at Davenport West High School, set to graduate in 1988. She planned to further her education, become a psychologist in order to work with autistic children because of her brothers. Now I'm going to take you to the night of all the events that transpired that are gonna make you very mad.
The set of them, in Spencer Henry's words, muera.
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 So on Friday, September 26th in 1986, Kim was looking forward to spending the night with her best friend Kelly Kress and celebrating Kelly's sweet 16 with their friends. So her and Kelly hung out before the party to get ready. They stopped at a local bar owned by Kelly's father. And then while they were at the bar, they ran into 20-year-old Jeff Daly. So I read conflicting sources. Some sources said that they had never met and that was their very first time meeting.
I was about to say, why is a 20-year-old hanging out with a 16-year-old?
But according to her sister, they had met a week before. And they kind of knew each other. And then the other sources is that they had known each other and they were just like acquaintances, like, because it's a small town. Shortly after the girls returned to Kelly's home to resume the birthday party, Jeff Daly showed up. He was not invited at all. They might have mentioned like, oh, we're going back, blah, blah, blah. He obviously knew where they live. They live in a small town, but was not invited. Also, these girls are 16. He is 20.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 4-year difference. And he showed up in a yellow Camaro that wasn't his. He borrowed it from his friend. Oh my God. I think his name was Weston Scott. I have it written later. And he kept trying to talk to Kim and trying to get her to leave with him to attend another party. And I always say this wrong. I think it's Walcott, Iowa, or Walcott, one of the two. However, Kim was not interested in going anywhere with Jeff and kept turning Jeff down. Because Kim didn't know Jeff very well and wasn't comfortable socializing with older boys. She was also in the middle of celebrating her best friend's sweet 16 party. Why would she want to, like, leave?
That's
so
fair.
It wasn't clear if Jeff went to the home they don't know. I read that wrong. They don't know if he ever went inside the home or if he just stayed outside trying to get her to go with him. But when he realized that she wasn't going to go to another party, he instead asked her if she would consider going with him to pick up their friend, Joyce Barton, so that she could also attend Kelly's party. So she turned him down again, and he kept asking and kept asking until the girls and Kim got tired of it. And finally, I think Kelly was like, it would be fun to have Joyce here. We should go get her. But they didn't go with her. She went by herself. They let her get in there by herself.
Red flag.
Yeah. A man they've either just met that night or only known for like a fucking week. Her friends let her get in his car. Kelly said to her, make sure you bring her right back because she's spending the night here for my birthday. As they climbed into the Camaro, and as the Camaro pulled away from the curb, Kim yelled out to Kelly, tell my mom I'll be right back. Instead of driving to Joyce's house like
you
promised.
You never say that.
Yeah, I know,
you
right?
You never say that. She you never mention yourself. Your mother.
Yeah, she said, tell my mom I'll be right back.
You never come right back.
Mm-mm. So instead of taking her to Joyce's house, like he promised, all of a sudden he started driving north towards the town of Walcott. I'm just going to say Walcott. If I say it wrong, I say it wrong. Whatever. Against her will, she was taken to the Walcott Mobile Home Park. Jeff took Kim inside a trailer owned by a man named Rob Kaufman. But I never hear anything about that man again. Like, he just owns the trailer that they went to. There's no other information on him or any other details with the case with him in it. A short while later, Craig Peterson, who was 20, and his older brother Kevin Peterson, who was 22, showed up at the trailer. Kevin was home from college for the weekend. Jeff and Craig had been best friends since childhood, and they grew up right next to each other, which I looked it up because they put their address. It was four streets away, like literally like four streets over from where Kim grew up. So I don't know if they knew each other or not, because obviously there's an age difference there. They're all at the trailer, and then at 10:10 p.m., Kim Luce was found lying on the ground near the entrance of the mobile park. Her injuries consisted of blunt trauma, hemorrhaging to her chest, a severe brain injury, and a broken neck. That is not what the police told her family. This is where you're gonna get mad.
Why didn't they tell her?
This is the part I was texting you about. So Kim Luce's family was informed by officials, like by the police, that Kim had fallen out of the Chevy Camaro when the door opened while going over a speed bump between 10 to 20 miles per hour at 10:30 p.m. Kim was already dead at 10:10. Keep that in mind. Then the Luce family was told that it was a freak accident, and when she fell out of the car, her neck broke. That is all the family was told. Even though she had blunt trauma hemorrhaging to her chest and to the back of her head and her neck.
This sounds like the whole Buster Murdaugh with Shane case.
Mm-hmm. So the Luce family were also told that Jeff Daly had been driving the Chevy Camaro. Yeah, owned by Webster Scott. So he was arrested that night. He was given an OWI and spent 3 hours in jail. Which an OWI is a DUI. It's operating under the influence, basically. Because in Iowa, they drive tractors on the streets and shit. So it's whatever you get arrested on. And he spent 3 hours in jail. That's it. Nothing else. No one else ever got arrested. No one else did anything. He got an OWI and 3 hours in jail. One witness, allegedly the first to arrive at the scene after Kim's fatal injury, said she found Daly in the parking lot standing over a young woman. No mention was made of the Peterson brothers. Though both were present during, like, in the crime scene photos, you see all three of them on the other side of the car. Like, they're in the crime scene photos.
But they weren't questioned?
Apparently not. Then it says, at 12:38 a.m., Captain Dennis J. Conrad of the Scott County Sheriff's Department interviewed Jeff Daly, where Daly stated he picked up Kim in Bluegrass between 9 and 10:30 p.m., and they were going to go for a drive to Walcott. That's why they were there. Then Scott County Medical Examiner Roland N. Perkins ordered an autopsy conducted by Raj Sakaran in the autopsy room of St. Luke's Hospital at 11 a.m. So she was pronounced dead at the scene, but Jeff lied to the police and said that they left her friend's house between 9 and 10:30, but she was dead in the other town by 10:10.
Where did that 10:10 come into play?
That's when she was discovered, and she was dead when she was discovered.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that cause of death happened at 10:10.
No, that's what they put on her death certificate, though. Like, what did the autopsy say? That they agreed with the 10:10. Because the police didn't get there till closer to, like, 10:28.
Okay.
So they agreed with the 10:10 that she was already dead because of her injuries.
Okay.
So now we're going to move on to the next one, because they will connect. So the guy Craig we were talking about, the one of the brothers that showed up, during the next day, after whatever occurred that we do not know, between 9 p.m. and 10:10 p.m., between that time, we don't know what happened, but those three boys know what happened. They know what happened to her. So the next day, Craig, the 20-year-old that was best friends with Jeff.
Pause. 1 second. So all three boys were involved in the murder.
Well, allegedly. Okay. No one has ever been charged or charges pressed, nothing.
But
they were all there. They were with her from when she arrived at that trailer to when she was found dead.
Daly, that dude.
He was seen when they arrived. They were at the crime scene. They never left the crime scene.
So he drove her to meet the brothers?
No, he told her, we're going to go to pick up your friend.
Correct.
And then drove her to the trailer, and then they showed up at the trailer.
Gotcha. That's how they all got at the trailer.
That's how they all got there. The brothers got there, a couple minutes after.
To make sure I'm on the same page here, there's Daly and there's three brothers.
Two brothers. Craig and Kevin.
And Daly. And then Craig is the one that died. Okay, yes. Continue.
Okay, so Craig Peterson was the 20-year-old best friend of Jeff Daly. Craig and Jeff both resided in Bluegrass and grew up on the same street, as I said before. Craig was one of the people who witnessed what had really happened to Kim. The Saturday morning after Kim Luce had been found dead, Craig and Kevin had been witnessing arguing by their family members. The arguing continued all throughout the day. By appearances, it looked as though Craig had been refusing to cooperate with whatever Kevin wanted Craig to do. Kevin appeared to become angrier and angrier and refused to leave Craig alone. By Saturday evening, Craig, who seemed visibly disturbed, got tired of his brother yelling at him and left the house to get some peace. A couple minutes later, Kevin Peterson got in his pickup truck and went after Craig. Two witnesses, which I believe were their neighbors, decided to follow them because it was a really heated argument.
Yeah.
And they went to make sure everything was okay. Kevin then directed his anger at the witnesses and told the witnesses everything was under control and that they needed to leave, and he ordered them to get the fuck out of there. Kevin managed to shoo off the witnesses, and the brothers were then left alone. And this was on, it was on a bridge over the Mississippi, is where they were. It was like, I skipped over that. The two witnesses saw Greg get out of the cars at the edge of a bridge on Interstate 280 south of Davenport, Iowa.
It sounds like to me, who was the other brother?
Kevin.
Kevin killed her, and Craig wanted to come clean to the police. Kevin was like, no, dog, you ain't gonna tell no one nothing, and then he killed him to keep him quiet.
That's
what I think.
Kevin managed to shoo them off. They left the brothers alone. That was the last time Craig Peterson was ever seen alive. When Craig didn't come home the next morning, his parents, Terry and Ann, reported him missing.
How old were they at the time?
So, Craig was 20 and Kevin was 22.
Okay.
And so, then, on Wednesday morning, so that all happened Sunday evening. Wednesday morning, John Kelsey of Rural Buffalo was working along the Mississippi River when he discovered a body floating about 100 yards offshore. John pulled the body into the shoreline and called the police. The body was taken by Buffalo Ambulance to Muscatine General Hospital. Once the body was positively identified as Craig Peterson, they transported the body to Des Moines. 3 days later...
So he's only within a 3 days distance.
They found his body. It was determined the death took place Sunday, September 28th, 1986, at approximately 3 a.m., which means Craig died just over 24 hours after Kim died. And then they listed Craig's death as a probable suicide, but admitted that they weren't certain because no conclusive evidence ever proved whether Craig jumped voluntarily or by coercion?
Coercion.
Yeah. Fallen or been pushed from the I-280 bridge into the Mississippi River, but witnesses did place Kevin Peterson at the location where Craig was last seen alive.
He did it. Case closed.
Right, that's what I think. Now, we're going to fast forward to the little ending part of this. Kim's sister, Julie Luce, is a complete badass. Love this lady. So, in 2011, Julie got into a car accident, and it brought back memories of her sisters because, remember, they thought she died in a car accident. Like, she fell out of the car and broke her neck. That's what they thought. So they all felt like that was weird, but they all were like, whatever, I guess that's what happened. She decided to share on Facebook, like, a memory of her sister, and residents of Bluegrass started commenting and messaging her saying, like, you should look into Kim and Craig's deaths. It's very suspicious. So at that point, the Luce family wasn't even aware that Craig had died 24 hours after Luce. And they didn't even think that Craig's death may be related, so she decided to dig further into her sister's death. She got the sheriff's office records and statement witnesses had provided to deputies, but they didn't match the explanation that was provided to the family 25 years earlier. Julie then found photos from the scene of the crime that showed Daly, Peterson, Craig and Kevin, if you see it, her body with a bunch of people around it. Then there's the yellow Camaro, and they're like leaning. One of them's leaning on the hood, one of them's standing next to it, and one of them's farther back.
They always say criminals revisit their scene of the crime.
Yeah. Julie also found transcripts of interviews of witnesses, the people that were at the scene, however, two interviews were missing, there weren't any transcripts for Craig or Kevin Peterson, which they found odd because it said they interviewed them. But their interviews are missing. No one has any idea where they were.
Sounds like a cover-up.
Julie Luce also found that Kim Luce's injuries were substantially worse than the family was originally told. Kim did not just have a broken neck. She also had severe injury and blunt force trauma. The autopsy report shows several injuries were never talked about, including several triangle-shaped injuries on her body, in her upper body area. And then according to Julie, Kim had been wearing a miniskirt that night, though neither leg had a scratch. She had a tiny bruise on each kneecap, but no pavement scrapes or markings on her legs. If she would have fallen out of a car at a speed bump, there would be markings of her, like, scraping across the ground.
Road rash.
Yeah. And there's no road rash, no nothing. Because they had been told that she fell from the right side passenger door, though the case file reports and autopsy photos show that all the victim sustained primary injuries to her left side. And one report cited the broken car door was the driver's side, not the passenger side. And a statement made to sheriff deputies Daily 2 acknowledged that the driver's side door was the one broken. But he's telling them that she fell out because the passenger side was broken. So they finally obtained a copy of her autopsy report, along with reports from the local fire department, other emergency responders that were at the scene. What local officials had referred to as road rash on Kim's body was actually, per the autopsy report, cherry red discoloration due to cardiac tamponade?
Tamponade, yeah.
Yeah, caused by blunt trauma to the chest where blood begins pooling around the sac surrounding the heart.
Yes.
Followed by hemorrhage pericardial trauma.
Pericardial.
It's pressure on the heart that occurs when blood or fluid builds up in the space between the heart muscles and the outer sac. So that's like two things that happened to her. In addition to the broken neck and blunt trauma to her chest cited on her death certificate, the autopsy includes another injury that in itself would have resulted in death. Fractured dislocation to the upper cervical spine with, what does that say? Medullary concussion.
Yeah.
Often referred to as traumatic brain injury, very similar to shaken baby syndrome.
Yeah, her neck was broke.
Yeah. And so it says, when the medical examiner received Kim's body, they were told by the deputy sheriff, as noted in the autopsy, that Kim was Jeff's girlfriend. Untrue. They didn't even barely know each other. And that they had gotten into an argument when Kim jumped from the moving vehicle. So now we're on a third story. This is a third story. That's not the one Jeff told them. That's not what actually happened. This is a whole nother third story that the deputies are making up to the medical examiner.
Why are the deputies trying to cover up this girl's murder?
That's what I'm saying. Oh, it's so aggravating. Furthermore, Julie Luce discovered that Scott County Attorney Bill Davis did not file criminal charges in either Kim Luce or Craig Peterson's deaths. Julie also found out that Bill Davis is a good friend of Jeff Daly's family. And then in 2008, his law license was actually revoked for failing to turn over records to the Iowa Supreme Court. According to witnesses, Daly had attempted to move Kim's body and had lifted her partway before letting her go and dropping her hard on her head, though she had no skull fracture, but that might have added to the broken neck. And then it also says, as the teen lay motionless on the pavement, we assumed dead, Jeff Daly made no attempts to contact law enforcement officials or medical personnel. Finally, someone nearby called an individual who is friends with Ron Morrison of the Walcott Fire Department. So they still never called 911.
That's a crime in itself.
They called someone who was friends with a guy in the fire department.
Because that makes sense.
Right? Like, how are you not going to call 911? So they got the call to the fire department at 10:15. They left the station at 10:17, and the first unit arrived at 10:21 and noted the following conditions about the victim's bodies. She had no blood pressure, no pulse. She had a Glasgow coma scale, or whatever that is. She had no response, her eyes didn't open. No verbal response, and no motor response. Her skin was dry and cold. It says her skin color was...
Canatonic.
And then it says no pulse, no respirations. Pupils fixed and dilated. They did attempt to revive her, but obviously was unsuccessful because she was already dead. And she was pronounced dead at her arrival at the hospital.
That's why there was no autopsy report, probably.
No, there was an autopsy report, but they didn't tell the family about it.
Right, but I'm talking about if she wasn't called until she got to the hospital, then no one's going to argue with that.
Yeah.
Because no paramedics can't call time of death.
Yeah.
They gotta be transported to the hospital and then called.
To finish the story, now that she had all the official documents along with eyewitness testimonies from those who had previously feared getting involved, Julie then reached out to the local Iowa Crime Stoppers chapter near them in Davenport and provided them with all the copies and all known documentation in the mysterious deaths of both Kim and Craig. Julie also decided to reach out to Craig's mother, thinking she would be eager to finally learn the truth about what happened to her son, but Miss Peterson, however, questioned Julie as to why she would want to pursue either death after so many years. And then Julie decided that she still wanted she felt like Craig deserved answers too, like as to why he died. So finally, it didn't. In 2011, when she first started looking into this, she caused a stir. So the sheriff's office had originally told her that the case was cold and there's nothing they can do about it. Then they ended up apologizing and said they were sorry that the family was never told the truth, but the case will be, reopened to give the family closure and answers. But no progress, since 2011, no progress has been made. But they have copies of reports, nothing from the Scott County officials that explains how it went from a suspicious death to an accident conclusion in Kim's case. Like, how did it go from suspicious to she got into a car accident?
I don't know. Something fishy's going on.
The medical examiner did, however, know and fully describe all three fatal injuries, even though the medical examiner didn't know what happened and that they didn't know Jeff wasn't really her boyfriend and that they didn't know she didn't really fall out of the car. They still, like, even knowing what they knew, what they were told, they still decided to do a full autopsy and make sure that they got it right.
Because I'm sorry, but if I'm a medical examiner and a body comes in with no scrapes other than just bruising on her knees and head trauma that she fell out of a moving vehicle.
Yeah, when she has, then you look farther into it. Then you look farther into it and she has damage to her head, damage to her neck, damage to her chest, damage to her knees. She has three little, she has like triangle shapes cut out of her. Like, where did that even come from?
I don't know.
And they said
somebody's mama or somebody's daddy knows somebody somewhere, and like, it's just a cover-up, in my opinion.
And then they say she fell out of the passenger side, but all her injuries are to her left side, indicating she would have fallen out of the other side.
Did she fall out of the car, or was she pushed out of the car?
Was she ever in the car? Because all they just moved.
Who's to say that Jeff Daly was the one that killed her, and it wasn't Peter?
Yeah. Or Kevin.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Where did I get Peter from?
But, okay, so there's one suspicious thing that I've been doing research into. There's no connection. It could just be a crazy coincidence. But on the Christmas morning in 2017, in the same little town of Bluegrass, Iowa, Kim's childhood home suspiciously caught on fire, right?
Was her sister in it?
No. It was, sadly, the people that died in the home were Larry Luce Sr., who was 71, and Rose Luce, who was also 71, her parents, and then her two autistic brothers, Stephen and Michael, 36 and 35.
Did her mom or dad do any indication of looking into the case at all?
Her whole family did. Her sister was just, like, the main advocate.
I wonder if mommy or daddy found some interesting information, and they went, nope.
But
just kidding.
Larry, Rose, and Stephen died in the house. Michael was able to escape the burning house, but after being taken to the hospital, he later succumbed to his injuries. But I was unable to find anything saying that they solved the case of the fire, because this happened in 2017. Every article I read is from December 25th to December 29th, and all of them say that it was being investigated.
So they're probably still investigating it.
Because it's been, 6 years, and they haven't released...
Well, no matter what, there's always going to be a source of a fire.
Yes.
And whether someone started it, or it was an electrical
fire. I feel like if it was an electrical fire and stuff, they would have released that right away. Like, they would have found out and released it. But if it's arson, it's a different thing.
I don't know. If they probably don't want to say what it is yet, because if they feel like if they say anything too soon, then everyone's going to try and debunk it.
There could be more. There could be less. It could just be a crazy coincidence.
Who's to say we're the first people to think that they're connected?
That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure.
But how can you not think they're connected? Her mother and father and brothers literally died in a fire.
In the same house she grew up in. After the police...
What was the date of the fire?
Christmas. She died in September.
Yeah, but what was the year?
2017.
What was the difference? Year and difference? The difference in years, I mean.
Almost, what, 30 years?
If it's the math, then it's the 30th anniversary. The year would be the 30th.
We're like 31.
When did she die?
86. They died in 2017. That is the story of the suspicious, quote-unquote, deaths of Kim Luce and Craig Peterson. I feel like Jeff and Kevin did it.
I feel like they... I don't know. I'm kind of confused.
There was nobody else that saw her in that time frame.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's my thing.
They didn't find proof of her being sexually assaulted at all, though.
I wonder if, like, when she knocked out of the car, like, I wonder if that's not where she broke her neck. But if they got her out of the car, Jeff called her to get out of the car, she's concussed out of whatever, and then here comes Kevin.
Yeah.
Bebopping in and breaks her neck.
Well, and the thing is, we don't know. After they arrived, Craig.
Craig. Sorry, guys. Craig just probably watched it all happen, and then he was getting a guilty conscience, and that's the only reason why he would get killed after her.
And we don't know if she was killed or had begun getting injured in the trailer, or by the time they got to the entrance, because they don't say how far away the trailer was from the entrance. I don't know.
I have more questions than I have answers.
It just makes me so mad that the sheriff's office lied to the family about what happened to her. Like,
they lied to everybody. They lied to everybody.
There's no reason, when they know more than just a broken neck happened, why would they lie to the family? What caused them to lie? Why did Craig and Kevin's interviews get wiped from the record? Why did, instead of being like, oh, you're a suspect in a murder, Jeff Daly only got an OWI and spent 3 hours in jail.
Who was the
Nothing else ever happened.
Who was the family friend of Jeff Daly's family?
It was the Scott County attorney.
There's your answer.
Yeah, I know.
There's your answer.
He ended up losing his law license anyway.
Did his family have money?
I don't know. Thank you. We don't know what our next cases will be. We don't know when we get back.
I'm bouncing between the two. Hopefully it'll be next week. So make sure you follow us on Instagram.
Corrupted Beings Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter.
Beings Podcast.
Find us on Facebook.
Corrupted Beings Podcast.
And send us an email if you feel like it.
CorruptedBeingsPodcast@gmail.com.
Bye!